set your course for the Hoth system. General Veers, prepare your men.
All troops will debark for ground assault. Prepare to target the main jet.
Echo Station 3TA. On an Imperial Walker.
Attack pattern Delta. Go now. Watch that crossfire, boys. Right now, I feel like I take on the whole Empire myself.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the bay.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Echo Base. This is episode number 172, recorded on Sunday, March 3rd, 2019. I am your host, Lou, and I'm here tonight with Tim. Tim, how are you?
Lou, it's like I saw you just a little while ago.
You did see me just a little while ago, like in person, in the flesh.
Oh, that must be why, then.
Yeah, feels like you were just here. Feels like you're still here, actually.
It's like I haven't left. I'm the guest you can't get rid of.
That's true. This is true.
It's amazing.
So what we're bantering back and forth about is Tim just spent the weekend out here in this part of Echo Base. He packed his stuff up and came out here with his tools, and we started working on our Mud Trooper costumes.
Yes, we did.
We are excited. We are pumped about that. But we'll talk more about that a little bit later in the episode. We're going to kind of dive right into the news. I don't think we have any network announcements to talk about or anything right yet.
I don't think so.
We're free to just go into the news here.
Yeah.
Awesome. So no new news for episode 9, I don't think, right? Nothing earth-shattering has happened in the last week or so?
No, nothing I know of.
Okay. So it's kind of sad, but, you know, I think we're going to be getting some news in a couple of weeks at Celebration, since we get this, you know, kind of dark hole where nothing's coming out of right now. I think we'll get a ton of information in about, what, 4 or 5 weeks now? We've got 4 or 5 weeks away.
Yeah, about 5 weeks. So it's coming up fast, maybe a little too fast right now.
Yeah, too fast for me. We got some armor to finish.
Yeah, we have some armor to finish. But yeah, there are some the news keeps on rolling out for Celebration, which is fantastic. Right. We got some new guest announcements. They talked about things that they're going to be talking about. There's information on the art show. And in fact, you also got some information from, I guess at this point, a source we won't disclose.
Yeah, I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but there was some talk on the Mud Trooper forums on Facebook the other day, and led me to believe that the Tattoo Pavilion is happening for Celebration
Sweet.
Chicago, which is kind of cool. Because they didn't announce anything yet, and I was looking back when it happened for Orlando, because I was thinking this is kind of late. I'm like, nothing's been announced. Maybe they're not doing it. And I know they're not doing the tattoo competition. That was the last one was Orlando, Shane, Turgeon? Yeah, Shane's no longer doing that anymore. He wanted to kind of step back from that. So I wasn't sure if there's going to be a pavilion there at all, but now it sounds like there is because somebody was trading tattoo work for potential costume pieces. So that was kind of cool. And I did question him on it. He says, yeah, well, it's going to happen. It was supposed to be announced last week, but it didn't. So it'll be announced probably this coming week. And I'm sure at that point you'll see a lot of artists posting that they have availability and, you know, when they can get spots signed up for people to book a session. If you're thinking about doing a tattoo, I would say, you know, find the artist you want to get one from and try to get a spot quickly, because I want to say by the time Celebration Orlando hit, there was not much left to choose from if you wanted to get one, like, spur of the moment.
Yeah, I think there were only a couple of free spaces left from what I recall. And
right. And that's out of – there was 47 artists there last time.
Yeah.
That's a lot of tattooing going on during 4 days, and this year to be 5 days. But
And definitely one thing I know that was a lesson learned from Orlando, and of course we don't know what's going to happen with Chicago in terms of line management and access to the building and that kind of stuff. But people who had appointments like first thing, they were not able to make them because of like the hours that it took just to simply get in the building and through security. So probably a good idea not to book your appointment early. Just saying.
At least not in the first day. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I know that I had mine in the first day last year, and it got postponed a little bit during the same day. But some of that was from people that couldn't get in on time just from their own going through the line. But also, they couldn't get the people in to come in to sign off on the health code stuff they had to get done, and they weren't ready to go when the thing started. So some of that was, you know, logistical
interesting
timing that got thrown off. So something to keep in mind, but definitely if you want to get a tattoo at Celebration, book something early, talk to the artist, get a feel for who's going to be there, and sign up as early as you can, because I'm sure that the artist you're going to want to get, if it's a popular artist, you're not going to be able to get a spot once you're at the convention.
Right.
We had a bunch of new guests announced too, didn't we?
Since
the last time we talked.
Yeah, there's a whole list of them. Do you want me to run through them?
There are. Yeah, sure. Run through them all.
All right. So we have Alan Tudyk, who is certainly a favorite of ours. He, of course, played K2SO in Rogue One. Jet Lucas. Yes, he is related, who was in episode 3 and also did some voice work in Clone Wars. Ken Leung, who is in episode 7. John Ratzenberger, of course, famous for Cheers, but who played Major Derlin in Empire Strikes Back. This guy, Ian McDiarmid, you might have heard of. He played this
small parts.
He played this guy, Sheev, I guess.
Yeah.
So he played Emperor Palpatine. Billy Dee Williams, of course, who plays Lando, who is reprising that role once again for episode 9, which is awesome.
Right.
Freddie Prinze Jr., who played Kanan in Rebels. Taylor Gray, who played Ezra in Rebels. Tia Sarkar, who played Sabine in Rebels. Michael Culver, who played Captain Nita in Empire Strikes Back. Julian Glover, who played General Veers in Empire Strikes Back. John Morton, who played Dak in Empire Strikes Back. And I'm really hoping to get together with him because interesting, like great guy and, you know, played a very short lived character. But he actually also works in my profession or a profession very strongly related to mine. And I've been looking forward to meeting the guy for a while. So I may do a sign up for an autograph session with him.
Nice.
Anthony Forrest, who played a sand trooper in A New Hope. I'm wondering if he's the sand trooper, the move along sand trooper. I'm not sure.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's kind of odd for them to bring in someone who, like, if they were just some trooper and had no speaking role. So.
Right.
And I didn't get a chance to look into that. So that's kind of my assumption, because there really was no other significant sand trooper. So,
well, there could be the, you know, looks are droids.
It could
be him, you know.
Let's see, this guy Ray Park, another one you might have heard of, who plays Darth Maul, of course.
Right.
Matt Lanter, who voices Anakin in the Clone Wars. There is also a very significant rumor of Oscar Isaac milling around, and
that would make some sense too, right? I mean,
it absolutely would. And some sources are actually saying that he's confirmed, but I've not seen that come out from Celebration yet. So
as we said before, as we get closer and closer, we get the bigger names popping up, and you know, we're seeing some big names here, Alan Tudyk and Ray Park, so forth. But you know, Oscar Isaac may be in that kind of next tier of people to be released.
Yeah.
So,
and I would certainly expect that probably by the end of March, we are going to see announcement of Mark Hamill. You know, they're going to wait for that one. They're going to build up for that one. But he is probably, you know, one of the most noted names, obviously, in all of Star Wars. So he tends to be a headliner, and he does everything. He does autographs and pictures. He has a great kind of a, you know, one man show type of thing that he always does very, very well. And he tells some great stories, and he'll do some of his voices. He's of course famous for doing Joker and some other stuff. So, and also he may be taking part in a panel. I would expect that if there's an episode 9 panel, he may very well be on it. Of course, you know, we can expect Daisy Ridley and some of the other folks as well from episode 9.
Yep, that'd be cool.
And I mentioned, by the way, the autograph and photo stuff. Go to StarWarsCelebration.com and you'll find the information for all the pre-sale stuff there. That's your place to go.
Right. And there's also been stuff. They've also actually had the emails go out for the road to celebration.
Yes.
Which leading up to it, sometimes it's different tidbits, but this first one was about the first pre-sale of pins. The pin, gathering situation for the event coming up. But there's also that first four pack, and there's probably going to be another one or two coming out to be released. I guess he had a slight debacle when they were going to be doing the release of this first one. A
little bit.
The servers crashed. I mean, hard, I guess. Yeah. It was supposed to be Friday, I think, at noon. Noon Central Time. And I totally forgot about it. I was doing a bunch of stuff, and I really wanted to get in that. And got back to my computer that night, and I'm like, oh, I forgot about it. And I read the headline. I'm like, oh, crap. Oh, okay. It's Monday now. Great. And, of course, I missed Mondays, too. But I got home. This should give you some hope, maybe, at least, if you haven't done it yet. I got home Monday after that at the end of the day, like 8 o'clock. I was like, oh, well, let me see if this. I went online. And sure enough, you can still order the stuff. So a lot of demand, but looks like they have enough supply for a good amount. So I'm waiting my T-shirt and pins to come in. So I'm happy about that.
Good. Good.
Let's see. Episode one panel was confirmed with Ray Park.
Yes.
That is good to hear. I see some episode one love.
Yeah. And it's the 20th anniversary of episode one. So I expect that we're going to see some nice throwback stuff to that along with. And it's kind of nice that we have things that are retrospective as well as looking forward. We certainly expect we're going to see a lot on episode nine. We expect we're going to see a lot on the Disney Plus stuff. So it all should be pretty good.
Right. And I'm happy that, although I shouldn't say, I'm feeling old now that episode one is 20 years old. It does not seem that way to me. It seems like it's the new stuff still, but 20 years ago. But I'm happy I think it's found its home in Star Wars. It's kind of settled in. It's now not the new kid in the block that everybody kind of wants to pick on. It's here. It's just part of it. So
absolutely.
I feel much better about that than I have in the past.
Yeah, as do I.
Let's see, you have in your art show stuff has been released. A lot of people selling prints, pre-selling, Celebration exclusive stuff. So I haven't checked much of that out because I don't want to buy stuff. I have no wall space left that I can put up Star Wars stuff. But there's always some awesome things out there.
Yeah, there really is. So head over to StarWarsCelebration.com. They have a lot of the information on the art show, which is just absolutely fantastic to walk through. And you just see some different perspectives on things, different art styles, different interpretations of things, some beautiful things that are paintings or done digitally or they're photographs or whatever. And there's just incredible stuff there. So even if you're not going to buy anything, it's just great to look at. And I'll tell you, Celebration Orlando, I did not intend on buying any art, but I did. I got this awesome print, which actually originated in Celebration Europe, but the artist was there at Orlando, and he had a few of those prints left, and I loved it. I just thought it was incredible, and I had to pick it up. So it's now framed and hanging in my bedroom. My wife was gracious enough to allow that to be in there. So. Nice.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's always half the battle is getting it, past your significant other to put up in the house.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She is both kind and benevolent.
Awesome. That's about it as far as new Celebration news we have going on, right? I don't think there's anything else that we can talk about.
No, there's nothing else really that I've heard.
Okay. Nothing new on the Disney Plus front. The only thing we have left to talk about news-wise is the big reveal we had last week from several different media outlets that got tours of Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, so this was apparently a real hush-hush thing. Like, no one was allowed to say that they got invited to it. And when they did, they weren't even allowed to bring their phones in. They weren't allowed to take any pictures. They were given some stock photos from the Disney Parks folks. And they got a pretty good tour. And obviously, a lot of this stuff is still under construction. It opens, they open up this summer. And there were some really great reports, just exciting stuff. So, I kind of went through some of the news articles and listed a bunch of things in here that we may want to touch on.
Okay. Well, let's dive right in, because I saw a lot of the same things you have, and Entertainment Weekly had one, and a bunch of other people that we follow on Instagram had a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah.
The word in the street seems to be that it's just the level of detail that these guys have put into this set of stuff in the park is just second to none. It looks amazing. It really does give you that immersive feel that we've been talking about for so long now and really want to experience. Although, as we say this, I'll say that the funniest and probably true meme that's been out there lately has been, what Disney wants you to think about Galaxy's Edge, and it shows the Falcon background and the little kid tugging on dad's arm, and it says what the reality is going to be, and it's like, 18 million people between where the camera was there and the Falcon. And I hope it's not. I hope it's more of a little bit lighter, crowded area, but
it's going to be rough. I think. I mean, it's. I'm sure they're going to put together a great thing, and they're going to try to manage crowds as well as they possibly can. But there's going to be a lot of people, and this isn't just like the first month. Don't think that, oh well, I'll wait 6 months and go, and there's not going to be a lot of people. There's still going to be an epic crap ton of people.
Yeah, I think that's going to be that way for a couple of years at least. I mean. Because other parts of the park are still packed, too. I mean, it's not just like that, oh, it's been out for 2 years now, so it's going to be less.
Yeah. No,
people still go to the parks.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. You've got some other stuff talked about in here. Scents is in, smelling scents and piped in music into different areas. And this is the kind of thing that I'm kind of imagining back to when I was on the Disney cruise. They didn't do any piped in scents, but the music was always there, and they wanted they had a tour of the ship called the Art of the Theme. And I think I've talked about this in the past, mm-hmm. where it is how they create the theme of the area that you're in. And for them on the ship, especially transitional areas from one part of the ship to another, and how it's not just an abrupt change in music or change in lighting. It's a very subtle change to go along. And having seen that kind of stuff and this stuff explained to you kind of makes me really excited about what they're going to do with something like Galaxy's Edge, where you've got the whole world to play with and you're going to make this feel like it's Star Wars. I mean, we've seen the movies, we've seen the locations. We want to feel like we're really in the location, not just kind of walking through a fake set of it. Right.
Totally. Yeah. So
what else do we have here, Tim?
Well, so there is going to be three entrances to the park, apparently, which is good news, so you're not waiting in the one line to get in there. Right.
Well, stop for a second there. I mean, when you say three entrances, is this a part of the park you're going to pay to get, or is it a separate thing all by itself?
It's part of the larger park, but I'm guessing you have to pay extra. You have to have a specific pass to get into it.
Interesting. Do they do that with any other parts of the park today? Because, I mean, I haven't been to Disney World in a long time.
I think they do. Like, you have to get, like, multi-park pass if you want to go to Epcot or you want to go to Magic Kingdom, you want to go to whatever. Like, there's different
right. But, passes see, I wasn't thinking to get this into was those. A separate park entirely, like going to a Magic Kingdom or going to Epcot. I thought it was like part of the Magic Kingdom.
No. This is like its own.
Okay.
Its own separate area. Liz probably will be able to give us more information on what they do with that. So yeah, that's a good question for her for Random Chatter tonight.
Okay. So, as we expected, some of the parts of the park are completed and some of them are still under construction.
Mm-hmm.
California version of this will be open before the Florida version will, but I'm sure they'll be doing tweaks and adjusting right up until the big opening, I imagine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So they did say that the Black Spire Outpost, which is what this Galaxy's Edge is supposed to be set in, that's the town they're living in, has a lived-in feel to it. It feels like you are in a living, breathing city.
Yeah, and this is on Batu, which is, very backwater, pretty much, I guess, from what the we've had in the Thrawn books, that it's far in the outer rim, kind of bordering in the unknown regions type of area. It's a little backwater. It's, mm-hmm. not very affluent folks are living there. So, basically just imagine a lot of what we saw in Tatooine. And I think that that's that's a lot of the influence there.
Yeah, I think it's going to the pitch that we've seen so far have that same look and feel as if it was either, you know, on Tatooine or on Jakku, or, you know, that kind of a feel where it's not really a metropolis. It's not, you know, cosmopolitan. It's more of, you know, hey, this is the hind end of space and we're trying to make our way, you know,
but also a busy crossroads. So there's a lot of things going on there. You get a lot of space travelers that go through there. There's some commerce that goes through there. There might be some shady deals that go on there.
No, never.
And, you know, they're definitely playing up like, you know, you've got both the Resistance and the First Order having a presence there. So they're kind of playing up this, you know, it's on the edge of you know, basically known space, and no one necessarily has a complete foothold in there. So it's a really great theme, I think, to all of it.
Yep. So the people that got the tour of this got to actually go to both of the rides. That would be Rise of the Resistance and the Smokeless Run.
Mm-hmm.
That is cool.
Yeah.
I'm very jealous.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't see much about the rides themselves, but I did see a lot about the kind of the line, not management per se, but where, you know, they talked a lot about the one for the Falcon, where the line goes around the ship and into the ship. And they even said at one point you get to the point of the line where you're no longer in line, but you're in the Falcon. So you get a card or a number or something that gives you a placeholder where you can now just kind of mill around and check out things in the Falcon, which, I mean, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it really does. That sounds very cool. Yeah. So you get to just kind of see things, and apparently there's an incredible amount of detail in there in the Falcon while you're waiting to actually get into what's the ride itself. And the ride itself is they take in six people per session, two pilots, two gunners, and two flight engineers. And now I'm guessing it's not just six people at a time. They probably have like several of these cockpits. So, you know, you're in the one Falcon, but there's a number of cockpits so they can get people through this.
And otherwise it would be like, you know, a week's line to get in.
Yeah. And this is the one that apparently has in it somewhere, I don't know where, an animatronic Hondo Inaka.
Oh, nice. Nice.
And
that's cool.
Yeah. And folks like had commented
he's
that
a fun character.
Like it's the animatronics are doing really well. And I imagine that they got the original voice. I cannot remember the name of the voice actor who does Hondo, you know, so they probably got that actor to do it. And just, you know, those types of things make it even more immersive.
Nice. So the other ride is the Rise of the Resistance. And that was the one where you're in the shuttle, I think, breaking out of a hangar or something. Was that the gist we got the first time they talked about this?
Yeah, so I guess you get captured and brought onto a Star Destroyer, and so it kind of starts. They said that the ride is partially completed on foot. So I guess you're walking through like a hangar in the Star Destroyer or something, and then you're on some kind of they call it a trackless vehicle. I don't know exactly what that may mean. That kind of goes around through some of the hallways of the Star Destroyer. And then apparently at some point you are escaping. And in the hangar area, you see like full size TIE fighters and a couple of AT-ATs. And so that, like, there's just really, really cool scenery in this. I really hope that it feels like you're inside of a Star Destroyer. That's just awesome. That's mind blowing to me.
Yeah, these two rides themselves seem like they're going to be so much fun, and unfortunately, they're probably going to be so short. You're going to get done with it and go, "Oh, wait! I want to do it again because I missed so much stuff. And it was so short. I need to see it again." But
yeah, and you also wonder like how much like I know the oh gosh, what's the one Star Wars ride that they have now?
I'm not sure what they've renamed it now, to tell you the truth. It's been a number of years since I've been on it.
But I know that in that one, they have like a few different scenarios.
Right. So many different plays, the Rebel each time or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit different. Well, they did say that in the Falcon one, you're going to get to pilot the Falcon if you're one of the pilots.
Yep.
But I'm not sure how that's going to I mean, I'd love to see the behind the scenes stuff of this, because it sounds fascinating how they make this work. But if you're going to have multiple cockpits all in the same screen, I guess, maybe, or maybe it's gonna be like the other rides where it's all in the, you're in a ship per se, in the shuttle, where you're looking at the viewport and that's the view you're going to see.
Yeah. I would think that they're separate cockpits. But then you have two different pilots. So I don't know if maybe one pilot has control at one time while the other has control at the other time. Mm-hmm. Or what. I don't know how they moderate between the two pilots doing things. So,
well, I'm looking forward to seeing some rear reviews of people once they open this up and it's live and people get to go on this thing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I know it won't be us anytime soon, because I don't have the time to go there and do another vacation this year, but that'd be fun. I can't wait to hear from people that have been on these rides once they're opened up.
Yeah. Well, you know, the great thing is we mentioned Liz. She goes to the Disney parks all the time, so hopefully she will be one of the early people in there and can give us some great reviews. And you know, we certainly have other folks with the network, too, who I know are going to be all about it. I know that Fred and Andrea are planning on going sometime, I think, by the end of the year, maybe. So, so we're going to have some really good firsthand accounts of it for folks to talk about. For this media day, obviously, the rides themselves weren't actually operating, but they got to spend some time in the environments.
Right. So above and beyond the rides, you know, this new park is going to be all about the immersive experience. And part of that is food and drink, right, Tim? I mean, that's a big part of our immersive experiences when we go places.
It absolutely is. there's always got to be some of that. And, there's apparently a number of different options for that. And one of the articles I went through here, which I think was Hollywood Reporter, highlighted three of them in particular. Okay. So one of them is Oga's Cantina. And of course,
you got to have a cantina in Star Wars.
Yeah,
you can't do it without that.
You have to have a cantina. And so that's what Star Wars fans are going to glom onto. Now, something that the reporter wrote in here was that Oga's Cantina, unfortunately, is actually one of the smaller food and drink venues here.
Really?
Even though they know that it's probably going to be the busiest one. And for a few reasons. One, it's that cantina environment, which we all love and we want to experience. But also because Oga's Cantina is the first location to be serving alcohol full time in a Disney park.
Interesting.
And it's also the only place there that's going to have alcohol. So the adults are going to want to go in there and, you know, try some things and drink responsibly. They said that there's apparently going to be 10 different alcoholic drinks, like mixed drinks that they have. And they gave some examples of the names, like the Fuzzy Tauntaun.
Ooh, I like that.
The Dagobah Slug Slinger.
Okay.
The Bloody Rancor. And the Bespin Fizz.
Nice.
They're also going to have, they have some custom beers that are being made just for the cantina here. One of them is named the Bad Motivator IPA.
An IPA. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, hopefully there's an array there.
That is all the array. Everybody likes IPAs these days. Yeah. I don't, but everybody else does. So.
Now, they do have the stipulation that you cannot leave the cantina with alcohol. So they're serving the alcohol there. You can't go walk around the rest of the park with your alcohol. So that's it. So you got to finish your drink there, and them's the rules.
Okay, little Johnny, you wait out here. Daddy's gonna go in here and have a drink.
Yeah, you kids go play with the nice stormtroopers.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Oga's Cantina. It's kind of sad that they make it small. I mean, I kind of understand you want the cantina to be small feeling, but you can do a bigger, you know, venue with just small little sections of it and make it feel small.
Yeah, or do, you know, multiple bars in that, you know, horseshoe cantina style and do several iterations of it kind of around a large room.
Yeah.
You know, and you could even put dividers between them.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
So it does have.
This is the first time. So we'll see how it works out. I'm sure it'll be a big hit.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see if they expand it or not. But
they said there's not going to be live music there. So I won't expect Finger and Dan and the Modell Nodes. to appear, but I guess there is going to be something animatronic, I think, from what they alluded to in the article.
Yeah,
something animatronic that will be playing some catchy cantina tunes, I'm sure.
Maybe they're pulling the animatronics out of It's a Small World and putting them in the
cantina. If they play that music over and over again, though, there's going to be some problems.
It's a small world. Sorry.
The drinks had better be strong.
They better be, yeah. So next up, we do have the docking bay. So seven food choices and cargo, I guess, in here. We're going to have, I imagine it's probably like the mall's version or their version of a mall food court.
Makes sense, I guess, right? It's docking bay seven.
Oh, I'm sorry. I read that wrong.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Docking bay seven's the name of it. So they didn't have a lot of detail on that one, but they said there's, you know, they have some themed foods like smoked kudu ribs, okay, which sound awfully tasty. I've never had kudu before.
Do they serve pork?
They might. They might. That would be exciting. I'd love to get a roasted pork or something.
Nice. I don't think they'll do that, though, Tim.
Yeah, some people might protest.
They probably would. And then let's see. You've got Ronto Roasters here.
Yeah.
This is another fine dining establishment.
Yep. Yep. Not really any other info on that one, but yeah. And there's several more in addition to these that are around there as well.
Oh, cool. Cool. Yeah. Themed food is a big thing, and I think that'll be fun.
Yeah.
And of course, you can't go to Disney without having a place to do some shopping. So we have several options for shopping. We have Savvy's Workshop, we have the Droid Depot. Can you buy a droid? Can you go home with a really rolling droid?
You know, maybe. I mean, it's okay. You might be able to buy them, maybe build them. I don't know. You know, it's amazing the stuff that Disney comes up with, and you know, it's they certainly love their retail end of things, but they also do, you know, like at the park right now, you can build your own lightsaber.
Right.
So hey, maybe building a droid is a thing too.
That'd be kind of cool.
It makes it an interactive retail experience and customizable.
Exactly, exactly. You can charge more for customizing stuff.
Absolutely.
They have Doc Ondar's Den of Antiquities, and they have a Toydarian toy maker. Now, this part here makes me really intrigued, Tim. That, you know, they were all in construction, so they couldn't really get in there and see the stuff. But they did show them some of the products,
mm-hmm.
right? And to say these products don't have that, you know, trinkety type feel to them, they actually feel like they're an authentic thing you'd buy in the place.
Which is awesome.
Really in the Black Spire Outpost. Yeah, that to me is great. I mean, I don't need to have the, you know, kitschy little shot glass or the kitschy little beer mug. I want something that feels like it was something you would have had in there when you're drinking at the canteen, right?
You don't want your Galaxy's Edge keychain, Lou?
No, I don't. I really don't.
Or your ballpoint pen lightsaber?
No. Now, you know, I am sure they're going to have those name tags, you know, in that same familiar shape, but with the colors and the name of, you know, the Black Spire Outpost with your name in Uruvesh.
Oh, probably, yeah.
You know, because everybody has those for everything Star Wars related.
Well, and it's Uruvesh, so, you know, it's cool.
Yeah, it is cool. Now, Tim, there's also going to be an app for your phone that you can interact with droids and stuff milling around the ship.
Yeah, apparently you can interact with all sorts of things with this app. You know, it geolocates you to where you are, and there's going to be different droids. There's going to be different, obviously, cast members around, mm-hmm. even different ships when you get in proximity to some of the like display ships that they have out there, cool. Different screens. And they even say in here drinking fountains.
So really,
I don't
converse with the drinking fountain.
Okay. Maybe there's like a gonk droid version of a drinking fountain. I have no idea.
I have to chase down my drinking fountain and get a glass of water. I'd be really pissed.
And I guess they're go ahead.
I was going to say, I like the fact that they're going to make this really interactive where you can actually use this app to, you know, work on missions, I guess, inside the park and find certain things and Easter eggs and that kind of stuff. That, to me, is really cool because you're making this more of an interactive experience, not just, walking around and looking at the pretty sights, you're going to actually get to, hey, find this or go see this guy, and you know, you need to get a message to so-and-so, and this is the guy that can do it for you. If those are the kind of things that are going to take place, it's going to be really cool to kind of – it's almost like you're in an MMO, you know?
Yeah.
You're going to use your app to find the guy with a little thing over his head, and that's where you get your quest.
Oh, totally.
And then you do the quest, get back and get the reward.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, they can do things like that. And it just adds to it being immersive and interesting. And of course, I'm sure it's done very strategically. So it takes you around the park to do these things.
Right.
So you're still getting to see things. Maybe it's even telling you, okay, hey, you need to go on this ride now because you need to save the resistance or something. And just taking you to different things, and you know, may even have you, hey, you have to visit this shop. And so when you go to the droid depot, there's a, you know, maybe a screen there that you have to interact with, but that gets people into the shop. So they're going to say, oh, well, hey, wait a minute, before I go to the next thing that the app is telling me to do to complete my mission, maybe I'm going to go, you know, build my droid.
Right.
You never know.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I am, the more I see about this park, the more I'm just excited about the fact that this thing is going to exist.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, totally.
I mean, we've gone from seeing that we're going to have no more movies ever to getting to be able to live in Star Wars, go to the parks. And then when they open this up in conjunction with the hotel, oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, it truly will.
Yep. So, Timmy, one last thing to hear about the costume cast members. So this is going to be more of a, not really like we're going to have Mickey and Minnie running around now. These are in-character costumes for the world, right?
Yeah, so this is everything from the folks who are the servers at the bars and the restaurants to the people who work in the retail shops. People who just may be wandering around the area who are cast members who are just basically guest relations types of folks. And they even said, like, you know, folks who are there providing services like janitorial and custodial types of things. So you're not going to see someone in a green jumpsuit going around emptying the trash cans. It's going to be people who are all dressed for this particular surrounding.
And it's going to add to that feel of being fully immersed.
Yeah.
You know,
so there's a number of these costumes that were revealed. And I guess the cool thing is that a lot of them are going to have some different elements that the cast members can choose. And not only permanently, but really on a daily basis, they come in the morning and they can say, oh, I'm going to wear this shirt with these pants today. Or I'm going to wear this different hat or whatever. So they're constantly able to mix and match. So you're not getting just this same bunch of uniform people, and they're able to kind of create some unique looks and make it look like, well, you know, you've gone into this particular town and people are dressing differently. There's obviously some similarity because of the culture and the environment and that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But there's some differences.
But yeah, but again, leading all to this whole thing of being fully immersed, that is great.
Yeah.
You know, and I can't wait to see the guy pushing the cart collecting trash from the trash receptacle with a lightsaber on his hip. I want that hanging on the side there, and he's just, you know, serving his community now and just not, you know, waging peace across the galaxy.
That's right. That's right. Hey, you never know. Even Jedi need jobs in these dark times. So
that's true. Yeah, yeah. With the fall of the Jedi, I've had to pick up a second job, and I am doing trash collection. So.
Or, you know, maybe he just found a lightsaber in the Dianoga pit.
There you go.
You know, in the trash compactor. And yep. You never know.
He just cleaned it up and stuck it on his hip. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I think all in all, this is something that we're all going to want to see. And I can't wait to hear from people that have actually been to this thing when it's live.
Yeah.
Well, Tim, that brings us to our discussion this week of how we are starting to sling some mud.
We are slinging some mud, Lou.
We are. We are. So if you guys have been listening for a while now, you know that Tim and I have been kind of toying around with the idea of doing a Mud Trooper cosplay. And it's becoming real. We're feeling very energetic about this. The armor has arrived here in the U.S. for us.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, this isn't armor that is just, you know, out of the box, ready to wear. This is the kit that we're going to put together.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been collecting tidbits and trinkets to make this work for the last few months. And Tim, you came out to visit me this past weekend. So on Friday morning, we went out and did our quick shopping run to get things that we think we needed. And we did pretty well. I think we didn't overbuy really anything and really got the stuff we needed to start adding color to our kits and fitting things and how we're going to hang them. And, you know, being the first time either one of us are doing any kind of a real formal cosplay, I think it was a good weekend for us to look at the work that other people have done, you know, take every bit of advice we've got from anybody else out there about, you know, how you're hanging this on your body, what you need to be careful of, what you need to look out for.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got the spray cans out and got high on paint fumes.
Not intentionally, folks. It wasn't like that.
Yes. We brought the freaky weather with you, Tim. So we had snow down here in Connecticut when it wasn't supposed to be snow. So we had to move our painting indoors.
True. So it was like you said, Lou, you know, we bought the kit and that still requires some painting and fitting and, and really assembly. There really wasn't anything with that kit that you can just like put on. So there's a lot of work that went into this. I mean, all the straps have to be installed, and this isn't just threading them through existing holes. No, where all the buckles and all that stuff has to be assembled and glued in many cases. We've discovered that kind of a best practice, I guess, in costuming is to have a lot of hidden straps underneath to hold things in place. Because when you look at them in the movie, well, gee, how is that, you know, shoulder armor staying in place? Well, you know, in movie costuming, they do a lot of different things. And in a lot of cases, those are translating into the stuff that cosplayers are doing. So mm-hmm. you end up putting together, you know, riggings of sorts with webbing and snaps and Velcro and, you know, magnets and all sorts of different things. So there's a lot of trial and error to see where it goes. It's definitely an evolutionary process.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, you know, we went out, we probably had probably a 2.5 hour shopping trip or so, hitting hardware stores, craft stores, big box stores, picking up everything from a bike helmet to spray paint.
Yeah, that's right, Tim. You bought your first bike helmet ever, didn't you?
I did. I've actually never owned a bike helmet. It's a horrible, and I technically don't, because this bike helmet now will not pass any safety inspection. So that's another thing that a lot of folks, like if they don't cosplay, may not know. The way that these helmets are made from fiberglass, molded fiberglass, and they can be made from all sorts of different things. And this is just the shell. It's not meant to fit on your head as is. So you need to have something in there that your head would comfortably fit in. And usually what people get are bike helmets or skater helmets. And we had to shave down some significant amount of that foam to get it to fit inside there.
Well, you did, Tim. You were the spearheading that part of the project, which you did a fantastic job with. Tim handed me the helmet with the new bike helmet inside there. I'm like, this goes on nicely. Great. Thanks, Tim. You did a great job.
Hey, we had a good time. It was a lot of fun working together on this because we divvied up a lot of stuff. We helped each other out. We were brainstorming with this. And of course, there's great people in the community, folks who have done this before. There's entire forums online that have a lot of like step-by-step experiences with pictures and narrative of how they built theirs. We got to hang out with some of the guys that you had met from the Connecticut 501st, and they gave us some tips and let us use their shop for a bit.
Yep. And that's a key thing too. The community is a very tight-knit community, whether it's the, a Facebook group from the Mud Trooper Builders forums, or like we met with the local 501st guys and kind of helped us out. They're all ready to dig in and help out. You know, they give you tips on what to do, what not to do. They've given you advice on, you know, what kind of paint to use and how to take care of them after you've done it. And, you know, even down to things like how to assemble the bicep pieces. We're like, you know, I don't want to glue this thing up and have it not fit right and then be, you know, wondering how I can unglue the gluing. You know, they gave us some tips on how to start wearing this stuff and how to put it on. And you know, it kind of an evolutionary process where here, try this and see how it fits. And if you're comfortable with it after a while, we'll do the permanent thing to it and make sure it's, you know, the right place for you. And then tips on, you know, how to reinforce stuff and how to secure things that we needed to have fixed on our armor and so forth. It's just, you know, we've never done this, and these guys are willing to impart knowledge onto anybody. And I've had the same experience on the Facebook group. I know you're not on Facebook, Tim, but the Mud Trooper Builders Forum on Facebook has become a really tight community. For a long time, it was just a couple people that were building armor. And now I think, you know, we ordered our armor as soon as the CRL came out that was official. And I think a lot of people did the same thing. You're seeing a lot of people now starting builds, and I'm seeing different faces on that builders group every day.
Yeah.
Going through and hey, this is what I've done so far, and this is what I've done, and people go, oh, how'd you do that piece, and what'd you use for this instead of that, and yours looks different than this other guy, what'd you do differently? And you know, and then you're getting people chiming in that have actually been part of the process of making the CRL, saying, you know, yeah, that looks really good, but do this instead, or I might want to think about changing this little piece to make it more realistic and so forth. So it's just a great community, and I just can't say enough good things about how we're getting all this help from people that don't know us, you know?
Yeah, it truly is. And yeah, and for all the progress that we made over the weekend, and, you know, we had to clean the stuff and we had to prime it and paint it. We still have to get another coat of paint on the stuff. And, you know, it's too bad that not that you and I live that far away from each other, but it was just cool to be working together on the stuff.
Right.
You know, but now it's like there's a lot of fitting and again, the straps and the clips and the webbing and that kind of stuff that we need to work a lot on it. And I guess our wives get to be the beneficiaries now of helping us out with that stuff.
Yep.
I mean, I know, you know, once I got home, because all the stuff got shipped to your house, so my wife hasn't seen it yet. And so once I got home with it, I, you know, brought out a 6-foot table, folding table that I have, and set that up and unboxed everything and got it all laid out for her. And she was really interested in all the stuff and how it fits together and what we were doing with it. And, so I think it'll be fun to have her be part of the process as well. And then, you know, just looking forward, obviously, to Celebration, which is kind of our hard deadline for this. I guess Saturday is the main cosplay day. I mean, obviously, you have cosplayers going at it all weekend, but Saturday is the main day. So that's probably the day that you're going to be able to see us if you're going to be at Celebration in our armor.
Right. Right. And you know, you mentioned deadlines, and I'm looking at the Star Wars Celebration page right now, and it says 38 days, 11 hours, 5 minutes, and 20 seconds. And I'm like,
oh,
that's
no.
Not a lot of time. 38 days. I'm like, oh, gosh. And you think about everything you have to do, and then you got to figure into your regular schedule and how you're doing stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to fit into that part of the life, too. And Tim, you probably even have it worse than I do because you're traveling a bit between now and Celebration for work, and I don't have to worry about that. I actually got more time than you do, Tim, because I took a few days off from work this month to use up some vacation time from last year.
Which is awesome.
So I've got a few extra days to be playing with this thing. And unfortunately, I think that, you know, the downside to that, my point of view, Tim, is I'm going to be rethinking this and redoing things and not leaving well enough alone. That I think is my biggest downfall in this. I'm going to, oh, I don't like that. Let me try to repaint this, or let me try to redo this, or that didn't come out quite right. Let me just do this differently. Instead of just being okay with it and letting it go and just getting a Celebration with a finished set.
Well, and
I'm gonna make myself nuts.
Yeah, and I think that's the fun part of it too, because a lot of the folks that we've spoken to and interacted with had said that, you know, basically your armor is never done,
right.
or you know, your cosplay is never done. There's always something to tweak or add to it. There's a lot of options. Looking at the CRL, which is the costuming standard from the 501st. there are things that you have to have, then there are other things that are options. And so, you know, some of those accessories we have that are options, and other things we don't, and we probably won't have by the time Celebration rolls around, but we may be tweaking those. So the next time we go to a con, we're going to have something a little bit different. Or, you know, we realize that after a day of walking around in that armor, we need to change how something fits or how it's right. attached or whatever. So, yeah, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of tweaking. Plus, we're going to be seeing, I'm expecting at least a couple of dozen other Mud Troopers. So yeah. we're going to get up close and personal with their stuff. We're going to be looking at their armor. We're going to be talking to them and saying, hey, how did you do this? What'd you do with that? Oh, that looks really awesome. I want to try that. And it seems to just be like such a very open and sharing community. So that's just more exciting. I'm really thrilled about it.
Yeah, I don't think I counted how many times we both said at one point or another, I'm just so excited.
Yeah.
I am just so excited this is happening. And, you know, every step of the process, we got something done. And you're like, yeah, I feel like that was a big win for us. You know, I feel like that was a step forward in the right direction and getting
totally.
Paint on some of this stuff and have even primed paint made it look a lot different than the black mold, you know, the black pieces out of the mold.
Oh, yeah.
I think I told you we finally got the first coat of paint on the goggles for the Mud Trooper, and they were these black kind of ugly looking things. Didn't have a lot of detail on them. And I'm like, that's never going to work. It's going to look like, you know, it's going to look like garbage. And we got the paint on it. And I'm like, okay, I can kind of see this is going to work now. You know, it's like, it makes you feel that much better. So
yeah,
I mean, we have a long way to go. I think we'll have some wearable stuff for Celebration and, a lot of hard work and some blood, sweat and tears, but we're going to get there.
Oh, totally. And I have actually, Lou, in mind, and I've, you know, the drive back home from your place, I did a lot of thinking today about the armor and putting things together. And I'm sure that you were very distracted at work today thinking about it.
I was.
But I came up with a great idea for an accessory for us to have. I think it's a bit of a non-standard accessory. and I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm going to surprise you with it. So
really? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
No, this wouldn't be a flask, would it?
No. Okay. No, unfortunately, it doesn't have anything to do with alcohol. so, yeah, I'm awesome. Going to leave that one to be a surprise.
I can't wait.
Folks, if you want to see the pictures of our progress from this weekend and also going really up to and through Celebration, go over to the Random Chatter Instagram account. Because that's where we've been posting most of our pictures. So,
right.
It's just simply Random Chatter over on Instagram. So definitely go check that out.
Well, great. Well, Tim, I don't think I have anything else to add for this week unless you do.
Nothing here.
Okay. So we will then close the blasters up and get us ready so that we can get back to our building of costumes. if anybody has any feedback for us, we'd love to hear from you, encouragement and or questions and answers about our armor we're building, or about the show in general. Of course, you can do so by sending an email to echobase@randomchatter.com. You can find us online. We are on Twitter. We are at Force Chatter for the Star Wars side of the network. We are at Random Chatter for the whole network itself. You can find me on Twitter at Lou Skywalker, Skywalker without the E. Tim, where can they find you on Twitter?
At Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with two M's.
Awesome. And you can also find all of our shows over at randomchatter.com.
Certainly appreciate you spreading the word and supporting us. Leave us reviews wherever it is that you get your podcast from. Tell your friends, family members, coworkers about us. Please also join our Discord community. We have a lot of fun in there. We've been posting pictures of this whole adventure as well over in one of the channels on Discord. We talk about Star Wars stuff in the Echo Base Show channel that we have and in other channels based on whatever it might be. Go over to randomchatter.com/Discord. That costs absolutely nothing. That will get you into our public lobby and our show channels. If you want to get into more of the channels on Discord, and there are many, many more, like dozens more of them that are within the Random Chatter Network, that just takes $1 a month. So if you head over to randomchatter.com/Patreon, That dollar a month helps us to basically keep the lights on around here. It takes care of our data fees and all the other kinds of things that we have to help out with the technology and us as an organization. Again, randomchatter.com/Patreon. We certainly appreciate all of those who help us out in that way. And if you want to do more than a dollar, you can do more. You can do $2, $3 a month. At the $5 or $10 a month levels, you get some bonus content from us as well. So we like to give back to you for as much as you're giving to us.
Thank you, Tim. And of course, the music you hear in this podcast is the Imperial March by Cell Dweller. We are going to close the blast doors, keep it warm in here until next week, and we'll come back at you guys in about a week. It's a trap.